your Bibles, turn with me, please, to our text this morning, 1 Corinthians chapter 16 and verses 13 and 14 as we continue in our series, Last Call. 1 Corinthians chapter 16, verses 13 and 14, and today I'm going to use the King James because it's a better translation of the Greek. Watch ye, stand firm in the faith, quit you like men, be strong. Let all your things be done with charity. And let's pray. Lord, I just thank you for your word, and I thank you that it's true. And I pray, Lord, that you just show us, men especially this morning, the desperate need there is for men of God, especially in these last days. And I pray by the power of the Holy Spirit, Lord, you would just make us those men of God that you want us to be. I pray you'd come to us now by the power of your Holy Spirit. I pray you'd open your word and teach us from it exactly what it is you want us to know. We ask all this in your name. Amen. This little sledgehammer belonged to my dad. And all the while we were growing up, me and my two brothers were told by my dad, when we got strong enough to hold this sledgehammer up in the air with our hand at the end of the handle, then we would know that we were a man. Because everybody can hold it up in the air like this. I'm talking about holding it up in the air with one hand at the end of the handle. And as you can tell, I can't do it. 62 years old, I still can't do it. I still can't hold this sledgehammer up in the air with one hand at the end of the handle. Jake, how about you? You want to try it? So that means Jake Nowinski and Kevin Garner must not be a man. No, because who said my dad was right? A man is not whatever my dad said he is. A man is whatever God says he is in his word. And the text we have in front of us this morning tells us all about it. Amen. We're in a series at Fox River right now, a series called Last Call, looking at all kinds of things that we need to do to serve the purposes of God before it's all said and done. So far in this series, we've looked at how this last revival in these last days is our last chance to get right with God like he wants us to be. And today we look at how this last revival in these last days is our last chance as guys to become the men of God that he wants us to be. And to see that, we turn today to 1 Corinthians chapter 16 and verses 13 and 14. In this part of 1 Corinthians chapter 16, the Apostle Paul has given final instructions, especially to the men in the church at Corinth. And in our text today, he tells them in the last days, act like a man. And every single guy listening to this sermon right now, the Holy Spirit is telling you to do exactly the same thing. Our text this morning, 1 Corinthians chapter 16, verses 13 and 14, tells us three things that us guys need to do to act like a man, and especially in these last days when it matters the most. And let's look and see what those three things are. The first thing we see from this text, the first thing that us guys need to do to act like a man, we need to know what a man is really supposed to be. And that's exactly what we see here in verse 13. Because this is a man. Am I going too fast for anybody? This is not a cis man. Because that implies that there's more than one kind of a man, and there isn't. And he's not your cis, he's your bro. This is a man. Not a transgender man, because a transgender man is just a biological woman pretending to be a man. This is a man. Amen. And he eats and sleeps and walks and talks and thinks and works and burps and makes all kinds of noises and stereo surround sound like a man. This is a man. So guys, you're not just providers of sperm. You're not just an inseminating person. You don't just identify as a man. You are a man. And that's exactly what the Bible says. The Bible says that man was separate from all the creatures and all the beasts of the field. Created in the image of God, Genesis chapter 1, verse 26. God's image, God's representative on the earth. So a man is the closest thing that you will ever see to God, this side of heaven. Yes, lady, your husband. A man's voice is the closest thing you will ever hear to God speaking, this side of heaven. So see the sign? All men are idiots? I don't think so. And trigger warning, because I'm going to say something that you'll never hear in school or on The View. God created men and women, and he created them different. Amen. Biology 101. All female eggs are Y chromosome. All male sperm are either X or Y chromosome. So at the moment of conception, if the sperm is Y chromosome, you're a girl. If it's X chromosome, you're a guy. So you don't decide your own gender. Guys, you're not AMABs, a male assigned at birth. Amen. You are AMAX, a male assigned at conception by God. Not by a doctor, by Dr. Jesus. Amen. Do we understand what a man is supposed to be? So your masculinity is not something that's toxic. It's a gift from the Lord. So don't you dare apologize for it. Because men, you are not a mistake. You are not an accident. You're not a freak in nature. Testosterone is not hazardous waste. You are a man. And the devil knew that if man ever realized who he really was and started exercising his God-given dominion, Genesis chapter 1, verse 28, and leading his family in the ways of the Lord generation after generation, the devil would be toast. So the devil went after the man way back in the Garden of Eden. And even though he went after the woman, he was really going after the man. And Genesis chapter 3, verses 1 through 7, instead of Adam exercising his authority and killing that snake and leading his wife back to the Lord, he caves too and eats the apple. Sin and death come into the world, and men have been having an identity crisis ever since. Do we understand what a man is really supposed to be? Because the world today just makes it even more confusing. There's Dylan Mulvaney trying to stay relevant. So there's a man pretending to be a woman, pretending to be a man. Men can't become women, people. Dr. Christine Ballard, Nobel Prize winner in physiology in 1995, said this: with 6,531 incontrovertible genetic differences between men and women, transgenderism is utter nonsense. Women have the idea that they don't need men. Famous quote from feminist Gloria Steinem: a woman needs a man like a fish needs a bicycle. Seriously? See those two men working that oil rig? You really think a woman could do that job? Absolutely not. Men and women are created different. Men have thicker skin than a woman does, by about 25%. You say, Kevin, why is that? You've never been married yet, have you? The memory center in a woman's brain is a lot bigger than the memory center in a man's brain. You say, Kevin, why is that? You've never been married yet, have you? Because a woman's memory is better than a man's. So when your wife says you said it, you said it. When your wife said you did it, you did it. Women remember things that men haven't even done yet. There's a difference between men and women. You don't have to be a woman to become a man. Being a woman doesn't make you a man. Being a rapper doesn't make you a man. Rapper Khalid just came out as gay. Fathering a child doesn't make you a man. Rapper NBA Youngboy now has 12 kids by 10 different women. Folks, my dog Watson can father a baby. Making a baby don't make you a man. Having money don't make you a man. Jeff Bezos, the richest man in the whole wide world, says he doesn't believe that there's a God. So even though he's on his way to becoming the world's very first trillionaire, I wouldn't give you 2 cents for the life that he has. Dunking a basketball. Bench pressing 300 pounds. Being ripped. Popping ashwagandha like it's Halloween candy doesn't make you a man. Hulk Hogan died of a heart attack after years and years of using steroids and being more juiced than a Florida orange. Guys, listen to me. There is absolutely nothing in this world that can really make you a man. Amen. But Jesus Christ can. Because see, we know what a real man really is. We know what a real man is supposed to be. We know what a real man is supposed to look like and sound like. Because God came to this earth in the form of a man. God could have come to this earth in any form he wanted to. He came to earth in the form of a man, Jesus Christ. Amen. And Jesus had a beard. And he worked with his hands. And he was in really good shape because he walked everywhere that he went. And Jesus was a kid magnet. And Jesus stood up for the defenseless. He stood up for the woman caught in the act of adultery. Jesus was the most masculine man in the history of the whole wide world. He's the man, guys, that we should have been if we hadn't sinned. And see, he wasn't just a real man. He was also real God. And he died on the cross and rose from the dead for our sins. And when you get saved, you come to know Jesus as your Savior, he starts conforming you to his image. Romans chapter 8, verse 29. And making you the kind of man that God originally created you to be. So guys, listen to me. You will never, ever be a real man until you are a man of God in Jesus Christ. Amen. There's guys listening to this sermon right now. You're not a believer. You're not a Christian. Today you need to get saved and start being a son of God instead of a son of the devil that you are right now. Do we understand the difference that Jesus makes when it comes to being a man? Because for me, becoming a man was really hard. And it started early on. Now, I'm as XY chromosome as any guy in this room. But when I was 3 years old, I wanted a girl's baby doll for Christmas. So my mom and dad bought me one, and I played with it. Then when I was 5 years old, I wanted a toy kitchen set because I liked to cook. My mom and dad bought me that too. So I was the only boy in the kindergarten class, one to Kendall School at Watseka, that had a baby doll and an easy bake oven. And of course, I outgrew those things. But then when I was 9 years old, I started gaining a lot of weight here and especially up here. Because even though nobody knew it at the time, I was born with something called gynecomastia that causes weight gain and enlarged tissue up here. So kids at school started telling me that I looked like a girl. And when I'd go to the swimming pool in the summertime, kids would tell me I needed to wear a bra like a girl. So that really made me feel like a man. And I had two older brothers that were really into sports, basketball, football, and baseball. And I wasn't because I stunk at all three. And every man in the Garner family line for a million generations back had been a farmer. My dad was a farmer. It's a manly thing to do. I knew for some reason early on I was never going to do that. So I didn't farm like my dad did. I wasn't into sports like my brothers were. Was I adopted or something? Talk about not being comfortable in my masculinity. And all the while, the devil telling me, Kevin, you're not a man and you're never going to be a man. Thank God my parents weren't woke and didn't take me to a Dr. Mengele and turn me into a genderqueer unicorn. Amen. Now, eventually I played 4 years of football in high school and I absolutely loved it, even though I was never good enough to start. Closest thing I ever came to being an athlete was having an athlete's foot. When I turned 16 years old and me and my friends got our driver's licenses, they all got muscle cars like GTOs and Mustangs and Transams. You know what kind of car my parents bought me? A Mercury Montego. Pea green. Previously owned by an 88-year-old woman in Watseka who never drove up more than 25 miles an hour. So I wasn't exactly Richard Petty. And the devil telling me over and over again, Kevin, you're not a man and you will never be a man. And I was in love with all kinds of girls, but I was always too shy to talk to them. And none of them ever loved me back. And most of them looked at me like I was a hare in their soup. Freshman year in college at Illinois Wesleyan University, I was sitting in the library, and that girl right there walked by and dropped a note on the table in front of me, asking me if I'd go to a sorority mixer with her. People, that kind of stuff just didn't happen to me. And of course I didn't go, and good thing, because that mixer was really just a contest to see which sorority girl could bring the dorkiest looking guy to the party. So that really made me feel like a man too. I never had a real date till I met Sue, the woman I married. And after we got married, we found out that gynecomastia causes sterility. So I couldn't get my wife pregnant if my life depended on it. Couldn't father any children. Anything else, God? Anything else for me that's going to make me feel like a freak? And the devil telling me over and over again, Kevin, you're not a man and you will never be a man. I played with a doll like a girl. I looked like a girl. I played sports like a girl. I drove a gold lady's car. Never had a date with a girl. Couldn't get a girl pregnant. Guys, listen to this sermon right now. Can anybody else top that? I wasn't an alpha male. I wasn't even alpha bits. Holy fake it till you make it, people. I didn't feel like a man. You know? I know exactly what it's like to feel like you don't fit in and like you don't measure up with the devil telling you over and over again, you're not a man and you'll never be a man. There's guys sitting in this church right now listening to the sermon. You know exactly what I'm talking about because I'm describing you too. But listen to me. I found a cure and his name is Jesus Christ. July 21st, 1984, I prayed to receive Christ as my Savior. And I found out when you get saved that Jesus Christ, that real man and that real God, comes and starts living his life through you, turning you into the real man of God that God originally wanted you to be. So you men, you are not who the devil in the world says you are. You are who God and his word says you are. In this world, you will never be the kind of man that people want you to be. But in Jesus Christ, you'll be exactly the kind of man that God created you to be. Amen. So in Christ, what can I say? I'm the man. First thing that we need to do, guys, in order to act like a man, we need to know what a man is really supposed to be. We go on in this text, we see a second thing. A second thing that us guys need to do to be a man and to act like a man. We not only need to know what a man is really supposed to be, we also need to know what a man is really supposed to do. And that's also what we see here in verse 13. Now, you're a male by birth, but you've got to choose to be a man by realizing, men, that we are not here for ourselves. You're not here to be Survivor. You're not here to be American Idol or King of the Hill. Because we men are here for other people, to sacrifice ourselves to protect and defend and to provide for and to serve other people. Jesus said, Luke chapter 22, verse 27, I am among you as one who serves. Men, us too. Flash floods in Texas last July the 4th. Outside of Kerrville, Texas, 27-year-old Julian Rogers and his family were trapped in their mobile home in the floodwater. Water coming up on the inside, so much pressure on the outside they couldn't open the door. They were going to drown. So Julian Rogers took his fist and busted open a window in that trailer so his wife and three little kids could crawl out and swim for it. But in the process of doing that, he gashed and slashed his arm so bad he started bleeding out. And Julian Rogers died in that water, in that trailer. That man sacrificed his life and died to save his family, to protect and to serve. It's not just what the cops do. Guys, that's what we do too. Act like a man. To act like a man, you don't act like a boy. You got to choose to stop acting like a boy and choose to start acting like a man. And too many young men in America don't do that. Right now, there are 6 million young men in this country under the age of 30 who are living in their parents' basement, vaping, watching porn, and playing video games. And they do not have jobs, and they're not even looking for a job. It's called the Peter Pan syndrome, perpetual adolescence. Guys, listen to me. There comes a time you got to stop breastfeeding and grow up. 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 11, when I was a child, I spoke like a child. I thought like a child. I reasoned like a child. I played video games like a child. When I became a man, I put away childish things. I want to marry a guy who's addicted to playing video games, said no girl ever. Act like a man. Too many guys don't. 61-year-old actor Brad Pitt. Never grew up. 61-year-old actor Brad Pitt is now shacked up with his 35-year-old girlfriend, Inez de Ramon. And why? Because Brad Pitt is still a boy. Boys shack up, men get married. 15-year-old Mason Bogart, Evansville, Indiana. His mom and dad put every filter they could find on that kid's phone and warned him over and over again that a lot of those stupid social media challenges could be really dangerous. But in spite of all of that, last May the 15th, they found 15-year-old Mason dead in his bedroom with a belt tied around his neck after he played some stupid choking game on Instagram. They looked at his phone. They found nothing. He hadn't searched for it. An algorithm had sent that to him totally unsolicited, and he took it. And another one bites the dust. Young men, listen to me. You may not be out there looking for the devil, but I guarantee you the devil is definitely out there looking for you. Boys play games. Men set priorities. That is a boy. This is a man. And knowing the difference may save your life. Amen. Act like a man. And if you're married, you've got to act like a husband. But you need Jesus Christ to make you a good and a godly husband, because marriage is all about dying to self. So husbands, you don't love your wife because your wife is lovable. You love your wife because you are loving. Just like Jesus doesn't love you because you're lovable. Jesus loves you because he's loving. You say, well, Kevin, my wife treats me like crap. The love you have for your wife doesn't depend on how she treats you. You love your wife no matter how she treats you. You say, well, Kevin, why should I sacrifice like that? Because you're the man. You're ultimately responsible for your marriage. You sacrifice. You act like a man. Amen. You say, but Kevin, why should I have to do that? You're the man. You got to act like a man. I got men in marriage counseling sessions who put profiles on Tinder. They're husbands. Kevin, I just want to see what's out there. You want to see what's out there? How about seeing what's right here, sitting next to you, your wife? Well, Kevin, the grass is always greener on the other side of the fence. No, the grass is greener wherever you water it. Men, do you realize what that word husband really means? That word husband literally means farmer, which means married men, it is your job to farm your marriage. Are you listening, Kevin? It means you tend it. It means you cultivate it, you plant it, you weed it, you fertilize it, you water it. Are you doing that? To make it grow and to keep it growing? Listen, I don't care what's going on in your marriage right now. I don't care what the issues may be. What would happen one day if right before you went to work, you just left your wife a note that said something like, I married the prettiest girl in the world. See you later. Wouldn't cost you anything. It doesn't cost you anything to tell your wife that she's beautiful, or that she's really smart, or that she's really funny, or that she's a great mom. Act like a man and tend to your marriage. And if you're a father, you got to act like a father, which means, man, you're the gatekeeper. You're the watcher on the wall. Are you watching? What's going on at your kid's school? Who's their teachers and coaches? What are your kids doing when they come home in the afternoon? Who's that guy that wants to date your daughter? What's that smell on your son's clothes? Been there a week and a half. What is that? What does that smell like to you? Who's all the people that live on your street? Watch it. Fathers, do you know that that Disney movie Elio is all gay-coded for LGBTQ propaganda? Fathers, do you know that the number one thing that kids are using to watch porn today is Twitter? Because they know when their parents found it on their search history, they'll just think they're getting news from it. Discord is an app for gamers, but a lot of head cases also use Discord to talk about murder and suicide. Tyler Robinson, Charlie Kirk's killer, planned his assassination on Discord. 764 is a satanic online network that encourages kids to self-mutilate and to kill themselves. Dad, are you watching? If you're a father, that means you're the spiritual leader of the home. And dads, don't tell me you can't do it, because God wired you to do it. When mom gets saved and goes to church, there's a 3% chance that the kids will too. But when dad gets saved and goes to church, there's a 93% chance that the kids will get saved and go to church too. Are you disciplining your kids? Real fathers discipline their children. See what that 13-year-old girl is doing to her dad's truck after he took her phone away? So dads in this room, let me ask you, how would you handle that? How would you handle that besides taking her to the train station or doing something that would get you 40 to life at Menard Correctional Center? Do we see the blessings that come when men do what they're really supposed to do? Next slide. See what the white guy does on the subway when there's an illegal alien, as drunk as a skunk, getting in everybody's face and threatening to kill him? Oh,
хорошо.
Проблема есть.
Laid him out. So Kevin, you're saying there's as a pastor that there are times when Christian men have to resort to violence? That's exactly what I'm saying. Absolutely, when it's necessary. Well, Kevin, I don't think it's ever necessary for Christian men to resort to violence. It's not? Audrey Hale, who shot up the Nashville Christian school, killed 6 people, shot and stopped and killed by a Christian man with a gun. Robert Westman, who killed 2 students and wounded 18 others at the Catholic school in Minneapolis, Minnesota, shot and stopped and killed by a Christian man with a gun. The perp that showed up in Kevlar with 2 Glocks is going to kill dozens and dozens of people at Cross Point Church, Wayne County, Michigan, outside of Detroit. That guy right there, a Christian on the church security team, ran over that man with his pickup truck. And then 2 other Christian men on the security team shot him and stopped him and killed him with a gun. Dustin Gonzalez, Denver, Colorado, 15-year-old daughter. The school transitioned his daughter behind his back and never told him about it, never said one single word, and then collaborated with the Colorado Department of Children and Family Services to have his custody of his daughter taken away from him because he would not call her a boy. So last April, Dustin Gonzalez showed up at a school board meeting. This is part of what he said.
My daughter changed her identity, not after years of discussion or family dialogue, not after joint input from both of her parents. No, this happened quickly, secretly, encouraged by a school-appointed therapist and a system that never thought to include me. And the school didn't inform me, they didn't include me, they didn't even ask me, they replaced me. By the time I found out, I was already labeled the problem. My objections weren't treated as concerns, they were treated as opposition. My voice was dismissed as hateful, my presence undermined. The therapist, the school, and eventually the court-appointed investigator all decided that because I would affirm something, I didn't deserve to parent my daughter equally anymore. I'm not a politician. I'm not a loud voice on social media. I'm a father. A quiet one, when he goes to work, tries to do right by his family, and stays out of the spotlight. But now you're going to remember my name. You'll remember it because I'm not just fighting for my daughter. I'm fighting to make sure that what happens to me, to my family, never happens to another parent in this district. I've lost the right to lead, and I'll make sure voters know why. Don't think you can take a man's child from him and not reap a whirlwind. You Amen. Don't get to Amen. Raise our children for us, and if those who replace you try as you have, we'll replace them too.
Now, one of the reasons I played that is because 99.99% of the time when you see school board meetings and city council meetings, it's the mother that's speaking and not the father. Where in the world, people, where in the world are the real men in America today? Last September the 5th, the Philadelphia Phillies were playing the Florida Marlins at Lone Depot Park in Miami, Florida. And a man named Drew Feltwell and his wife had their daughter and their 10-year-old son Lincoln in the left field stands because they were huge Phillies fans and it was Lincoln's birthday. And what do you know? During the game, Lincoln's favorite Phillies player, Harrison Bader, hit a home run in the left field stands. And then that happened.
It's a home run ball. It bounces around in the stands for a bit and a few people are trying to grab it. And then a man runs in, takes the ball as it's lying in the aisle, and then runs it back to his son.
There's a scrum. Drew Feltwell ends up with the ball, walks it over, puts it in his son's glove. Happy birthday. But then all of a sudden, that happened. An old white psychotic Karen with a butch haircut marched over, grabbed Drew Feltwell by the arm, and started screaming that ball was hers, even though that dad ended up with it fair and square. And she ranted and raved and carried on until finally dad did that.
Takes the ball out of his son's mitt and then hands it back to the woman with an effeminate hand gesture telling her to, be gone.
Didn't want the hassle, so Drew Feltwell finally took the ball out of his kid's glove and gave it to that woman, just to get her out of his face. Because you can see in the picture there, the guy's absolutely terrified of her. So that nasty little battle axe browbeat that scared, pathetic little man till he submitted to her and gave her what she wanted, even though he had every right to that ball. Talk about handing in your man card. And when the crowd at the game saw on the Jumbotron what that woman had done, they booed her like crazy. And then she really showed her colors by flipping them off. Whole lot of class. Now, the Florida Marlins organization saw what happened, so they went and gave Lincoln Feltwell a big swag bag. And after the game was over, they let Lincoln and his family go down to the clubhouse and actually meet Harrison Bader in person. And Harrison Bader even gave that kid an autographed baseball bat. And that was all great. But later on, when Drew Feltwell and his son and his daughter were interviewed about it, notice how the kid reacts.
I wasn't very happy that we had to give it to her, but we can't win.
I decided to give her the ball. I apologize to you, but it was the right thing. We just wanted her to go away.
Yeah.
And it worked out. You got a bat.
Yeah.
Pretty cool.
So, yeah, the kid was happy about getting the gifts, and he was happy about meeting Harrison Bader, but you can still tell he is still really bummed about the fact that his dad kowtowed to a crazy lady and gave up that baseball in front of millions and millions of people. And even his daughter was giving dad the side eye. Those kids will never, ever, ever forget that their dad caved. And I know somebody's hearing this. You say, well, Kevin, what would you have done with that woman? Well, I can't tell you because I pastor a church. But I guarantee you this, my son would not have left that ballpark without that baseball. Where in the world? Where in the world are the real men in America today? It gets worse. 23-year-old Irina Zarutska came from the Ukraine to the United States to escape the war. And she moved to Charlotte, North Carolina, and was walking dogs and babysitting and working in a pizza place to try to get established. The night of last August the 18th, she got on a metro car and sat down in front of a 34-year-old man named Carlos Brown, who had already been arrested 14 different times for very, very violent crimes. Should have never even been on the street to start with. But all kinds of woke judges refused to put him in prison in the name of social justice. So Irina Zarutska sits down 5 minutes later for no reason whatsoever. DeCarlos Brown stood up, took a knife, and slashed that girl's carotid artery on the side of her neck. And that picture that will haunt us forever, she's looking up at him. Like, my God, why in the world would you do something like that to me? This is what it looked like, and it's pixelated.
Here you can see him reach around, slash her jugular vein. And you can see that she doesn't even know what's happened. She puts her hand in her face, she begins crying. And no one does anything. You can see spatters of blood everywhere, blood on the knife. The murderer walking down the car.
And what's even worse, all the people on that car, men especially, did absolutely nothing. Even men sitting behind her who obviously saw what happened to her. And they saw DeCarlos Brown walking away with a knife with a trail of blood behind him. Why in the world didn't they tackle the guy? Because men, that's our responsibility. Even this wimpy little pastor, it's our responsibility to sacrifice ourselves and protect and defend, especially women and children. But they did absolutely nothing.
Blood pouring down the step. You can see there's a man who's standing literally right there. He does not move to help her. He does not move to put pressure on the wound. He does not move to check if she is all right. Nothing. He stands there and he does nothing.
DeCarlos Brown stabbed that woman in the side of the neck. He walks away, a trail of blood leading right to him. And not one single person, especially the men on that metro car, did one single blessed thing.
You can see people turn their back, nobody doing anything. And again, it's not just black people ignoring this. There are white people on the car doing nothing. One man appears to turn around and then sort of move away from the situation.
Now, carotid arteries bleed out really fast. 21 seconds after that girl was stabbed, she was so weak she slumped over in her seat and then fell on the floor like a human accordion. 1 minute, 35 seconds after that girl was slashed, she died. Now, a man finally did come over and try to do CPR. By that time, she was already gone. Irina Zarutska fled to Ukraine to try to save her life, only to die on the dirty floor of a metro car in a country that she thought she loved. James chapter 4, verse 17, to know what is right and not to do it is a sin. People, we have trained an entire generation of men in America to do absolutely nothing in the face of evil. Nothing. You see what happens? Do we see what happens in a country when men forget God and men forget what God has called them to do? God gave us men for protection, especially to protect women and children. But listen, those men will never do that. Those men will never even think about doing that until they first of all realize they're supposed to. The second thing that guys need to do in order to act like men, we need to know what we're really supposed to do. We go on in this text, we see a third thing. A third thing us guys need to do to act like men. We not only need to know who we're really supposed to be, we not only need to know what we're really supposed to do, but third, we need to know we better hurry. And that's also what we see here in verse 13, because Paul is telling this to us men living in the last days. Because folks, this is our last call. This is our last chance to get people saved before hell on earth breaks out during the Great Tribulation. So Joel chapter 3, verse 9, wake up the mighty men of God because it's time for war. So be on your guard, stand firm in your faith, and act like a man. And that's why there's revival going on in this country right now, especially among men and young men. Whenever God starts something, He starts with a man. God started a spiritual revival with Charlie Kirk. And the revival that's come after the death of Charlie Kirk has been mostly about men too.
After 10 years, not reading any scripture, not stepping foot in church, not even making a prayer, Charlie Kirk is the main reason for me finding my faith again.
You don't think it's crazy to get in church? Here's the line for the second service. And there's never a line. By the way, there's never a line.
Okay, I see. Thank you.
There's never been a line here.
Charlie Kirk, look what you did. No parking. No parking at all. None. I had to park like 5 blocks away from church. Because everyone wants to come now. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Charlie.
And that revival is still going on.
It's that the door to the gospel has swung wide open. Okay? We had to push back the service this morning. We have a room for 1,100 people. There were over 2,000 adults on our property at the 9 a.m. I don't know this service yet. Okay.
Well, just finished up a record weekend. We had about 1,500 more people than seats. We had people walking, I don't know, half a mile to get to church. My voice is shot. We had 5 services. We were at some services 3 rows deep, standing room only.
And that revival is still going on in college campuses, football stadiums, arenas all over this country. There's a revival in Washington, D.C. just a week and a half ago. So, folks, the Comeback America tour that Charlie Kirk originally was involved with was actually the America Coming Back to God tour. We just didn't know it. We got a different country today because of men. We have a different culture today because of men. There's revival in America today because of men. Women absolutely involved, but mostly because of men. So because of that, of course, what else do we have going on in America? We've got an all-out attack on men and men of God and what it means to be a biblical man. It's a war on women in a pig's eye. It's a war on men. TV dads like Homer Simpson and Peter Griffin telling everybody that men are idiots. 1 out of 4 boys growing up in America today without a father. 70% of the men in the church addicted to internet porn. The left constantly saying that the number one threat to our democracy and the number one threat to all of Western civilization is white Christian men. I could go on and on and on. The No Kings protest last Saturday, October the 18th. See what one of the witches of that protest said to a MAGA man who showed up?
I want to say I'm
going to lie. Your testosterone is what makes you illogical and emotional.
Your testosterone is what makes you illogical and emotional. There's toxic masculinity again. Funny thing, nobody complained about toxic masculinity when it was storming the beaches at Normandy and beat the Nazis and saved the world in World War II. Right. So what we have in America right now is not toxic masculinity. What we have is a toxic war against masculinity, period. Right. War on women is why Charlie Kirk was killed to start with. answering questions about transgenders and shot by a man who's supposedly in love with a transgender. No King's protest. This is what one woman said about him.
Whatever his name was?
Charlie Kirk, ma'am?
Yeah, him is horrible. Horrible.
Charlie Kirk is horrible?
Yes, I'm glad he's not here.
You're glad he's dead?
Yes.
Why would you say something like that, ma'am?
Because he was horrible on the campuses, the college campuses. Horrible person.
You know what? I do the exact same thing.
Well,
would you be glad if I would die?
Maybe. I'd have to think about it.
You don't think there's attack going on now against men and biblical manhood? There's guys sitting in this church right now. You're being attacked, aren't you? Because of what God's calling you to do in these last days. And you feel absolutely whipped. Because nobody has a clue. Most people have no clue whatsoever about what men carry around inside of them. The hurt and the betrayal and the rejection and the anger and the disappointment and the depression. And you're never going to get invited on the Drew Barry show to talk about it either. Drew Barrymore. To talk about your feelings. And you can't take a mental health day and just collapse like so many women do. Because you got to keep being the rock. So you suffer in silence. And you don't say anything. Because big boys don't cry. And you don't want to be a wuss. Nobody ever asks you how you're doing. Amen. Nobody at your house ever says, I'm proud of you, or thank you. You get more respect at work than you do at home. Your kids will hug their mother, but they won't hug you. You crave affection, but you don't get any. You know that phrase, happy wife, happy life? Notice there's no word associated with happy that rhymes with husband. Welcome to marriage. So every single day, you get up, you put your pants on, you go to work, and you kill yourself and sacrifice to keep providing. All the while, the devil is constantly reminding you about all the hurt and all the sin in the past. All the girls that you used in high school and college. That abortion that you made your girlfriend get when she was 16. All the partying that you did. All the hell that you put your parents through. That PE coach that sexually molested you. That affected your entire life. The divorce, the DUI. Listen to me, guys. I love you, and God forgives you. Yes, every single one of us has sins. But the good news is we've got a Savior, Jesus Christ. And because of that, you have no idea. You have no idea what's really inside of you. Back in 2005, a man named Frank Kluwer from Perth, Australia, put on a wool shirt. And over top of that, he put on a nylon jacket. And those two materials rubbing together built up such a huge static electrical charge. He started doing errands around the city of Perth. His shoes were melting the tile floors. His shoes even set carpets on fire. And the fire department was called. Every building that he was in, they had to evacuate because they didn't know what was going on. Frank Kluwer didn't even realize it till he got back in his car and his shoes melted the floor mats. When the fire department finally caught up with him and put a monitor on him, they found that that man had 40,000 volts of static electricity on his body. And the fire department told him if they hadn't stopped him when they did, any second, Frank Kluwer would have burst into flames. Christian men listening, you've got something even more incredible than that, because you don't just have 40,000 volts of electricity around you. You've got the power of the Holy Spirit of God inside of you. You have no idea. You have no idea the power you have inside. So the devil is not attacking you because you're weak. He's attacking you because you're strong and because what God has called you to do in these last days, and especially with your family. Because God loves you and He forgives you in Jesus Christ. And He heals you, and He can restore you. And He is telling you today, every single man in this room in Christ, I don't care what you've done in the past. I don't care what mistakes you've made in the past. This, you are my beloved son with whom I am well pleased. You are my beloved son with whom I am well pleased. This is my beloved son with whom I am well pleased. This is my beloved son with whom I am well pleased. And you, and you, and you, and you, and every guy in this room. And there is no devil or demon power in hell in these last days that can stop you. And guys, we need to remember that. because the last days are all about the attack against biblical manhood. The reason that God is moving right now in America and all across the world is because in His mercy, God is pouring out one last revival ahead of the rapture to save people from going through the hell on earth of the Great Tribulation. Whenever God starts something, He starts with a man. Crown of His creation, the most powerful being on the face of the earth, is a man of God led by the Holy Spirit. Because when you have a man of God led by the Holy Spirit, anything that's broken can get fixed and repaired and made new and made better. And this revival that we have right now that came through the man of God, Charlie Kirk, is making things better. Kid Rock, people, is even going to church. If that's not revival, I don't know what is. And that's a good thing, because right when there's a revival of godly men going on, there's also a rise of ungodly women. Because while men in America are turning to the right, more and more women are turning to the left. And more women are turning away from God right now like you wouldn't believe. Over 40% of all Generation Z and millennial women now identify as atheists. 40%. And don't believe in any God at all. See what the Raffles said at the No Kings protest?
Recently, with Charlie Kirk being assassinated,
Charlie Kirk is a piece of garbage. Of course we were mean. I am so tired of people saying, oh, but, you know, it's a terrible thing. No, Hitler is dead. I'm glad Hitler's dead. Evil people have no place in my world. He was a hateful human being. It was disgusting, the things that he said and did.
Women are turning demonic, people. Don't believe me? Look at what that leftist woman does to a street preacher in Boston, Massachusetts, who was just preaching the gospel. My God, you talk about evil. And why are so many women turning on godly men and turning to the dark side? Because Revelation chapter 2, verse 20 says in the last days, they'll be possessed by the spirit of Jezebel. Last month, we found out that a magazine paid a coven of witches to put a curse on Charlie Kirk 2 days before he was assassinated. And what was the name of that magazine? Jezebel. Evil women. And what does Revelation call the whole mark of the beast system that's coming in the last days? The great whore of Babylon. Men of God, in these last days, being attacked by women, turned to the devil, and it's happening right now in front of our very eyes. It gets even worse. God starts something, He starts with a man. And because the devil counterfeits every single thing that God does, the devil is going to start the great tribulation with a man called the Antichrist. Only he's not just a man. Remember Genesis chapter 1 says that Adam was completely separate from the animals and the beasts of the field? Revelation calls the Antichrist the beast, because he's not just a man. He is a man possessed by the devil. You talk about an attack on biblical manhood. And the Antichrist is a man. And his PR director, the false prophet, is a man. And the 10 kings, the 10 rulers who support the Antichrist, they're all men. And all the tech giants like Bill Gates, Peter Thiel, Sam Altman, Mark Zuckerberg, Jeff Bezos, Tim Cook, I could go on and on, who are right now building the mark of the beast system to turn it over to the Antichrist when he comes, they're all men. We see the attack on biblical manhood that's going on in these last days. It gets even worse. Because see the painting of Jesus made by an artist named Salustiano Garcia in Spain that came out just this past Easter, showing Jesus looking as queer as a $3 bill. Folks, we got to realize that's not Jesus Christ, that's Antichrist. That's exactly what the Antichrist is going to be. Because Daniel chapter 11 verse 37 says the Antichrist will have no natural affection for women. And the Bible says his kingdom will be all about LGBTQ. Jeremiah chapter 30 verse 6 says, during the great tribulation after the rapture, can a man get pregnant? Men will hold their stomachs like a woman in labor. And what do we see all over the world right now? So-called pregnant men. So many of them, there's even a pregnant man emoji on social media today. One of the hottest plastic surgeries all over the world right now is what? Biological men having womb transplants, trying to have a baby. Men all over the world are taking what's called chest feeding classes because they think they can breastfeed a baby. My God, you talk about blurring the image of God and rebellion against God's created order. Romans chapter 1 says, in the last days, God will turn men over to a depraved mind to do what ought not to be done. And that includes homosexuality and transgenderism. Don't tell me we're not seeing an attack against the men of God and against biblical manhood right now in front of our very eyes, just exactly like the Bible says we would. Amen. And to counter all that in the last days, God's going to use other godly men. Revelation chapter 11 says that God will send the two witnesses, two men, who will proclaim repentance and salvation in Jesus Christ and try to get people saved during the Great Tribulation. Revelation chapter 14 says God will send the 144,000 Jewish Christian men, 12,000 each from the 12 tribes of Israel, who will also proclaim repentance and salvation in Jesus Christ and try to get people saved during the Great Tribulation. Those are the men that are going to get people saved after the rapture. The question is this morning, where are the men that are going to get people saved before the rapture? And I'm telling you this morning, those men are right here. Amen. In this room. Men play a huge, huge part in the last days. Amen. And who's got the biggest part to play in the last days, this part of the last days right now? Men, it's you sitting right here in this church. Because you are the only generation that has ever had Bible prophecy spoken over you. Because you are that generation, men, where the Spirit of God is being poured out on all flesh. That's you. Because God is calling you right now to man up and to stand up and be a part of the greatest rescue mission of all time and to fight the biggest battle in the history of the whole wide world, to do the greatest thing you have ever done in your entire life for your marriage and your family and your children and the souls of millions and millions of people before the rapture. And it's too late. The only question is this morning, where are the men of God in this church right now who are going to act like a man and stand up and do it? Every single man in this room right now, every single man, young man, and boy, if you want this verse, 1 Corinthians chapter 16, verse 13, to be the theme of your life, I want to act like a man, according to God's word, and be the man that God has called me to be in these last days. If that's you, I want you to get up out of your seat, and I want you to come to the front of this church and stand on this stage. I don't care how old you are. I don't care how young you are. Every XY chromosome in this room, if you want to be the man of God that He's called you to be and that we need you to be in these last days, come to the front of this church. Grandfathers, grandsons, five-year-olds, 15-year-olds, if you're 115, come up here and stand on this stage. You say, Kevin, I got sin in my life. We all have sins in our lives. Today, let's take those to Jesus. We've got weaknesses in our lives. Let's take those weaknesses to Jesus Christ. Stand in His presence today and say, Lord, here I am with all my mess. And I give you all the frustration and all the anger and all the depression and all the failure. Shape me and make me and mold me into the person that you want me to be, into the man that I need to be in these last days. And this matters, men, because you matter. And you matter a lot. The words that you say, just your presence, the things that you do can change your family, can change this country, can change the world. And wives and grandmas and sisters and aunts and whatever you are out there, if your man is not here today, would you put him up there in your own mind and in your own heart? Is this the greatest looking bunch of guys you've ever seen in your entire life? There are men standing up here today. You don't ever hear thank you. You don't ever hear I'm proud of you. I want to tell you today, I'm proud of you. You're a man of God in Jesus Christ. He is proud of you. And you matter. You matter. We're going to pray for these men today. Women, absolutely, you have a role to play. And it's irreplaceable. But God starts doing something, He starts with a man. He's going to start with these men today. Let's pray. Spirit of the living God, fall afresh on me. Spirit of the living fresh on me. Melt me, mold me, fill me, use me, Spirit of the living God, fall afresh on me. Lord, I pray for every single man up here, every single one of my brothers standing on this stage right now. Lord, you created them to be men. Every day of their lives is already written in a book before one of them came to be. You created them to be the man that they are. And I pray right now that you would just take all of the issues that we have, all of the anger, all of the depression, all the resentment, all the rejection, all of our failures in the past. Lord, you would just wipe those all away. Make us brand new creations in Christ, just exactly like you promised us to be. And give us brand new minds that focus on the mission that you've given us, and that's to save this world before it's too late. Just ask for every single man standing up here today that they would be encouraged, Lord, that they do matter, that you know who they are, you see them, you love them, and you've got an incredible plan for them. I just ask and pray, Lord, for peace in their marriages, peace in their homes, peace at their workplace, that they'd be able to do their job and perform and do what they're supposed to do, do what you've called them to do without any hassles and any attacks, but also be brave enough to take a stand when those attacks come. Lord, we just rededicate ourselves to you today as men, men of God that you've called us to be. Knowing, Lord, that it's you and only you that can do it through us. All these things we ask in your name and thank you. Amen. Amen. Can we have a round of applause for our men? Thank you. Thank you.